today on Real Radio.
Remember, Philip said, show us the Father, we'll be happy. And Jesus said, you still ask me that? Have I not been so long with you? And you still ask, show me the Father? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus is the manifestation of the glory of God. Jesus, how about this? Jesus makes God personal to us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 3, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Arriving is the theme as we close out the book of Isaiah. And by arriving, we mean a succession of events and fulfillments of Bible prophecy, including the physical return of Jesus Christ to the earth. In part 2 from Isaiah chapter 63, we learned that we're living in the church age of God's grace on the earth, but God will only hold back his anger for so long. Christ followers will then meet the Lord in the air in the end times event called the rapture. This in turn will lead to the 7-year tribulation period, a time unlike anything that's been experienced before on the earth when it comes to destruction and violence. So today on day 2 of chapter 63, Pastor Jack tells us that when Jesus Christ arrives physically in the second coming, the Jews who receive him will be saved. And in their terrible affliction, Christ, having been afflicted as well, will have mercy on his people and show his love and kindness towards them. And now continuing in a lesson called Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Do you know your history, people? They have also divided up my land. Is that constant talk on the news? This is Joel, almost 3,000 years old, this prophecy. And Joel is prophesying that God is angry. When he comes back, he's going to divide up the nations. He's going to judge the nations because they sought to divide up his land. No one's trying to divide Canada right now. No one's trying to divide Mexico. No one's messing with Peru. Isn't it interesting? And if you say tonight, yeah, but, you can say yeah, but forever. The answer to the yeah, but is God's at work. He's doing this. You happen to be living right now at an absolutely miraculous moment. Anytime Israel appears in the news, you should say, wow, it's amazing. But we're in Joel, whom they have scattered among the people, and they have given a boy as payment for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. Verse 9, proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war. Wake up, the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Verse 10, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be awakened and come to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all are the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Here's that famous statement, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Is that remarkable? It gives me chills, man, to think that what we're reading about right now is forthcoming. Did you get a little bit of a hint about the Jew who wrote an American hymn? Yeah, very good. It's the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Written from this portion of Scripture, the famed American hymn. Fourthly, verses 7 to 14, the second coming of Jesus Christ also means this. It means that all Israel shall be saved. That is technically the remnant. When the Bible says, church, and then all Israel shall be saved. It doesn't mean that every Jew is saved. It doesn't mean that everybody who lives in Israel is saved. That's not what it means. It means God's remnant, the true Israel. And who's the true Israel? The born-again Jew. The born-again Jew. When we talk about Israel being saved, we're talking about the remnant being saved. It says in verse 7, I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us. The Jews will wake up to this truth someday. And the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them, according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. Verse 8, for he said, surely they, this is God speaking, listen. For surely they are my people, children who will not lie. That's an unfortunate word in the New King James. It's maybe some of your margins have the right word. And it is this, and it kind of breaks your heart. Listen, he's saying, they're my people, children who will not betray me again. That's what it means in Hebrew. They won't turn on me again. He's saying that to them, but unfortunately, it's the history of Israel. So he became their savior. In all their, I love this, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. You ever think about that? In your affliction, he's afflicted. When the Jews are afflicted, he's afflicted. When you hurt, he hurts. Doesn't the Bible tell us, didn't Paul tell the Corinthians that when the hand hurts, the whole body hurts? When the toe hurts, it's the whole body. The body of Christ is like that. When one hurt, we all hurt. When one is glorified, we all are glorified. It's the body of Christ. God says, when Israel was afflicted, I was afflicted. What an incredibly awesome, tender heart and a sweet thing to say. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Old Testament we're reading here. Shouldn't the Jews know this today? When you talk to a Jewish person, shouldn't they say, wow, you know what? We've had a rough existence on earth, no doubt about it. But he did say he's afflicted when we're afflicted. It does break his heart when our hearts are broken. They don't say that. They don't say it. They don't give him that. You say, well, if he loves them, how come they have had it so rough? You mean like the Holocaust? Yeah. And just personally, how a Jew is treated in the world? Yeah, I understand that. See, well, then if they're God's chosen people, what gives? You see that latter end of verse 9? It says the angel of his presence saved them. Look at that in your Bible. Some of your Bibles have those words capitalized. The angel of his presence. Number one, Bible students, if you think this is an angel, like the run-of-the-mill angel, like a seraphim, a cherubim, or an archangel, you're wrong. I'll be sarcastic with you intentionally. Whatever the angel of his presence is not something created. There's not a scholar in Hebrew that would say, oh, that's just an angel. You can talk to a rabbi and he'll go, whatever we're talking about, it's off the charts here. If, allow me to play with you for a moment. If God desired to show up right now or at any time, past, present, or future, how would he do it? We have a problem because the Bible says God is spirit. He's a spirit. Well, we have a problem because we know from the Old Testament there's times when he showed up and, like, for example, he oversaw the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah as he stood on the hill with Abraham and the angels went in and destroyed it. We have a situation in Joshua, I think it's chapter 5, when Joshua sees someone. Can you imagine? I would love to have seen this. Joshua is looking at someone. This is General Joshua. You don't mess with him. And Joshua sees who it is and he's got his sword and he goes, are you for us or for the enemy? And the answer is amazing. The answer is, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. And Joshua drops his gear, takes off his sandals, and goes to the ground. By the way, if you keep reading, Joshua gets up and that angel, that captain of the Lord's host, leads them to battle. How does, if God were to show up, how would he do it? He's spirit, so he can't manifest himself. He's spirit. How would he do it? In the person of the Son. The Holy Spirit doesn't have a body. Throughout Old Testament and New Testament, the Son of God can appear, born into this world physically, but he appeared physically in the Old Testament pre-birth. It's called a theophanies or a Christophanies. And he's going to come back in the second coming out of heaven, which is a spiritual realm. Go figure. Watch. He's going to come out of heaven. It's a spiritual realm. He's going to come into our atmosphere, and he's going to come and physically step foot in Jerusalem, and he doesn't change. He doesn't go from some eerie cloud-shaped type of effervescent glow and then somehow become a physical structure in our atmosphere and then walk around on earth. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Who is? Not the Spirit, not the Father. Who? The Son, Jesus. The Bible says in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, he has always existed. Always, forever. Man, it's called a theophanies, as I said. So if he was going to appear, what do we know? Exodus 33, verse 20 says, Exodus 33, 20 says, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. You can't see God and live. That's a problem. You see, if Moses saw God, kind of, sort of. Moses saw the presence of God and his face started glowing. In fact, you know what? Remember read the fine print. Moses said, I want to see you, I want to see you, I want to see you. And God says, all right, all right. Go hide in the crack of that rock over there. And I'm going to pass by. Watch it. This is Moses. Imagine, this is Moses. So God goes like this with his hand. God says, he goes like this. He goes, I will cover you with my hand, and then I will pass by. And then I'll remove my hand. And Moses, the best I can do for you is that you will see the atmosphere, the disturbance of the atmosphere of where I've been. It's called afterglow. Moses, the closest you can get to me is you can see just a few seconds the air and the atmosphere of where I've been. John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 14. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Verse 14. And we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1, 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has revealed him. Remember, Philip said, show us the Father, we'll be happy. And Jesus said, you still ask me that? Have I not been so long with you? And you still say, ask, show me the Father? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus is the manifestation of the glory of God. Amen. Jesus, how about this? Jesus makes God personal to us. He's the mediator. He's the one that gets you into heaven. He's the one that dies for you. He's the one that loves you the most. He's the one that forgives you of everything based on what he's done at the cross. He's the one. He's the door into heaven. He's the door into eternity. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's it. He's the one. He's the mediator. He's the salvation. He's the one. Matthew 5:8. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. The word pure is clear, clean, pristine, singular, one. Blessed is the one pure, clean of heart, for they, that is in eternity, shall see God. No one knows the answer to this. This is awesome. Friends, listen, somebody could tell you, oh, let me teach on Matthew 5:8. I'll tell you about it. The pure in heart will see God. Nobody knows what that's going to be like and how to explain it. In eternity, somehow, we will see God in totality. It's impossible to say. You're going to see God. God is singular. Elohim. The singular plurality. Elohim. Elo. God. El. God. Im. Plural. And the Bible says, in heaven, the pure in heart will see him. The Son, the Spirit, and the Father. You're going to see him. Go figure. How in the world? I don't know. We're going to get new eyes? I don't know. It's something. You want to read later a theophanies? Amazing. Go read it later. It's Judges 13. Judges 13 will blow your mind. Manoah, which, by the way, I don't know why people don't name their son Manoah. Don't you think it's an awesome name? Manoah. Manoah and his wife. She's cooking. She's doing something. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord appeared to her. And she's talking to him. He says to her, about this time next year, you're going to have a baby. But effective right now, immediately, no grapes for you, raisins, no wine, nothing from the vine. Because your womb has got to be sanctified because he's going to be a Nazarite, a Nazarene. He's going to have a vow all his life to me. He's singular, devoted to me. And you're going to become supernaturally pregnant. The Lord's going to do this. And so watch for it. And the Bible tells us that she tells Manoah, and he says, wow, that's awesome. I wish I would have seen such a thing. So she tells him the story, and we're going to have a baby. And so she's out doing something again. And the Bible says, and again, while Manoah was not with his wife, the angel of the Lord showed up and started talking to her again. And it's hilarious because poor guy, I don't know what he was doing, but he should have hung out with his wife more often. She saw the Lord show up. And so finally he goes, I wish I could see. And so the angel of the Lord reveals himself to Manoah, and he's so funny. The angel tells him all this stuff that's going to happen. They're looking at him. They're talking. They want to cook him a meal. And the angel says, you can cook a meal, but I'm not going to eat it. You can make it an offering to the Lord, but this is going to happen. And then he disappears, vanishes from his presence, and leave it to Manoah. He just goes, that was awesome. We're going to die. Because you can't see God and live, he says. You can't see God and live. Manoah understood that he was talking to a theophanies, Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ. And he says, that's it, we're dead. And she's great. Leave it to the wife to talk sense into him. She says, would God have told us all this stuff and promised me that we're going to have a baby that's going to do great things for God? By the way, their son is called Samson. You think God's going to kill us after he tells us all this? And so he kind of came back to his senses and the rest made history. But it's very, very important. Look at verse 9. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, Israel. And he bore them and carried them all the days of old. Wow. And you might say tonight, and I'd like to say tonight to my Jewish brothers and sisters here and around the world, for that matter, if you have a hard time with God, you should read Deuteronomy chapter 28. You want to find out why you've had a rough time? Deuteronomy chapter. You know any Jews? Give them Deuteronomy chapter 28. It tells you everything you need to know. Why was there a Holocaust under Hitler? Deuteronomy 28. Why did it happen with Egypt? Deuteronomy 28. Why did it happen with Deuteronomy 28? It's all there. Verse 11. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, "Listen to this." Where is he who brought them up out of the sea and the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit within them, who led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them for he himself in an everlasting name? Verse 13, who led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness that they might not stumble. As a beast goes down into the valley and the Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest, so you lead. Some of your Bibles say lead or led. I like the difference. I like the debate because he does both. Your people to make yourself a glorious name. God will save you tonight, friend, if you call out to him because his name is glorious. By the way, at the end of Manoah's conversation with that angel, Manoah said, what is your name? And he said, why do you ask me my name when it is wonderful? Wow. And then in verse 15, we learn that he'll answer all questions. Lord, look down from heaven. Look from your holy, glorious home and see us. Where is the passion and the might you used to show on our behalf? Listen to the lamentation. They're asking questions. Where are your mercy and compassions now? Doubtless, you are our Father. though Abraham was ignorant of us and Israel does not acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer. From everlasting is your name. O Lord, why have you made us stray from your way? Listen, he doesn't make them stray. He doesn't make you stray. But listen, stray from our ways and hardened our heart from your fear. Return for your servant's sake, the tribes of your inheritance. Verse 18, your holy people have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down your sanctuary. That's true. It's always been true. We have become like those of old over whom you never ruled, those who were never called by your name. They're lamenting. The lamentation's going on. The only thing is, it's emotions talking. It's emotions talking. God says, I've done this. I've, with my outstretched arm, I've brought you through. I've done this for you. And they turn and they say, because of all the hardships in life, not seeing God in it, they turn and say to him, where are you? That's the sound of Israel today. Where are you, God? And then when he answers them with Deuteronomy 28, they don't want to hear it. But what about us? Oh, God, where are you? He's right here. But where are you in my afflictions? Oh, God says, oh, in your afflictions, I'm afflicted. When you heard, I heard. I end with this. You can close your Bibles. For those of you who were here last Sunday, I want to thank you for your indulgence, your patience, your kindness. And in response, as you know, every one of the services, we had a little bit of a response time. And there was a young man here. And he wound up answering, if you were here at third service, you heard a remarkable statement. He said, Pastor, I want to know why. And he began to say that he used to walk with Jesus, but then he was injured in ministry, not physically injured, he got his heart hurt. And he withdrew from everything, withdrew from people, withdrew from the church, withdrew from God, because he got his feelings hurt. And I understand that, but that's never a good thing to do, to allow happen. And he said, I was on the shelf dry for so long and nothing happened in my life. And then he said, if you were here, you heard him say, but you know what? Just recently, I started reading my Bible every day. And then I started praying. And then he started talking about vision and about getting involved in serving people and loving on Jesus and how God has turned things around. He answered his own question. And listen, Deuteronomy 28 says, you reject me, Israel, and your life is going to be brutal. And you're going to be driven to the othermost parts of the earth. You're going to be taken captive by foreign countries. You're going to be made slaves. Your children are going to be born into slavery. And you're going to be buried in foreign lands. But if you turn to me and walk with me, I'll defend you. I'll bless you. I'll prosper you. And he blesses them. God blesses obedience.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 3. Thanks so much for being here today. You know, our hope is that you've met Christ in a very personal way. And if not, well, there's no time like the present when it comes to salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. A series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. By the way, if you've sensed that God might be speaking to you during this broadcast, and you'd like to know God personally through his son Jesus Christ, we'd love to help out. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on that tab that's labeled Know God. That's No, K-N-O-W, God. And that's all right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or check out the Real Life mobile app. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.